Up next on NHL Fantasy on Ice, Rob and Pete are churning out Friday's spicy salmon sushi rolls and pumping out weekend winners all show long. Their Saturday slate has their sauce simmering. DFS plays, best bets, top targets. Everything is on the Lazy Susan.
Here we go, everybody. Rob and Pete on this Friday morning talking fantasy for Friday and Saturday nights and recapping what's been a pretty crazy week for our picks, Rob.
What's up, everybody? It's Friday. We're all feeling good. Had a nice Thursday night. Pete, I think you won $8, which will be subtracted from
deducted,
your account, sadly. Yes. But
eight fake dollars. But thanks, Leon Draisaitl and Connor McDavid combined for 11 points and carrying the load.
Yeah, and I just was thinking this morning, it's a shame because if you have 6 points, one player has 6 points in hockey, that's equivalent to what, dropping like 60 or 70 in the NBA? No one's talking about it. This guy popped off one of the best players in hockey, career high in points last night, and no one cares.
And it's two of the five best players in the NHL, mind you, so they should care. I mean, especially Leon Draisaitl right now has almost 2 points per game, 41 in 21. He is the best German athlete since Dirk Nowitzki, very clear. So
let's break down the history on that.
People should be talking about this guy a lot more in other sports. Leon Draisaitl. Maybe can't spell his name in other sports, but get to know it.
I have the list of German athletes from 1950 to now, and Peter, your assessment of the situation is spot on.
Bang on.
The best German athlete since Dirk Nowitzki. Other athletes on the list. I'm sorry. I no
one gotten cut off. But no, good night for PDJ. And now we're turning ahead to a little Friday action. Well, actually, one more thing I will say. I'm still getting questions on Twitter. Should I pick up Zach Cassian? I don't know what more to tell you other than 100,000% yes.
And he's the easiest way. I mean, especially with the stacking strategies, you should get him in, even if you're not going to draft both of those guys. And both of those guys were in the 20s in ownership. Expect them both to be in the 30s or higher in their next contest, McDavid and Draisaitl. But if you only take one, you don't want to go all in, you get Zach Cassian as your plan B.
So one interesting note here for Friday night slate, Boston's taking on Toronto. Surprisingly, Toronto is actually giving up the second most DraftKings and FanDuel's points per game against. So if you're looking at your DFS lineup, I mean, do you start around Pasternak tonight?
Yeah, I'm going with the same strategy that worked for me yesterday. I got Pasternak, Bergeron, Marchand, and Matt Grizzlick, who's really cheap and playing on power play one with Torrey Krug out of the lineup. We speculated that would probably happen. McAvoy, that's not good news for your owners in fantasy who are thinking of dropping you. Stay patient with McAvoy, but Grizzlick is the guy to tap into in DFS tonight.
And what's funny for Toronto is just that I think we've all been waiting for them to have that kind of breakthrough statement game. Hey, we're going to play our brand of hockey. Mm-hmm. But I have to ask the roundtable here, what is their brand of hockey? Because some nights they flash some brilliance, and then other nights they look a little bit flat.
Yeah, that game against the Islanders was not pretty. Many different points in the game, they came up with a couple of garbage goals at the end to make it interesting. Nearly tied the game based on talent alone. But it's good to see Tavares picking it up here, a couple of multi-point games in a row. But you're going to need more than that. You're going to need Tyson Barrie to get involved. Tyson Barrie, we're looking at you, man. You were holding on to the puck for way too long at the end of that game. You could have scored.
Tyson Barrie has been atrocious, and I know we're trying to be patient with him, but that's a big player that's not performing up to snuff, and it's hurting Toronto right now. I mean, they were counting on him to sort of duplicate the season he had last year. Hasn't happened.
100%. And I will say, just again, I'm not a Toronto homer here like some people think I am, but make sure you do get William Nylander or Zach Hyman in your lineup tonight. Again, this is one of those plays where I am not ready to throw up all my cash on Toronto, but William Nylander, the way this kid's been playing this year, flat out brilliant. And then for Zach Hyman, too, nice 17 minutes in his first game back. Mike Babcock, he's got posters of Zach Hyman all over his basement, so get that guy in your lineup, too.
I like Hyman. I drafted him the other night, and I was actually choosing between him and Kapanen. I chose wrong. I mean, Kapanen scored the goal. Hyman didn't. But for what it's worth, I think Hyman's a little more valuable if your league counts hits and some of the peripherals, excluding power play points. He doesn't play on the power play, we should say.
long way to go in the season, lots of time left to right the ship in Toronto, mm-hmm. but I am really down on Michael Babcock. Mm-hmm. Really down on him. I think the shine has worn off a little bit with him. Not questioning his ability as a coach, a great coach in the NHL and a hockey mind, but he has been unable to get this Toronto Maple Leafs team together now for multiple years. And I know it's the start of the season, but they do not look any better than they did last year.
And for the gambling perspective of this situation, Toronto's been a team the last 2 years I've been able to predict, like Nostradamus. You know, Toronto's going to turn up tonight. Right. They're going to get their game on. This season, forget it. You can't be betting on this team this season. There's absolutely no argument you could make to me that says Toronto's going to blow them out of the water tonight. I can't see it.
And look at the recent success of the Bruins just in general. In the series, in the playoffs, regular season against the Maple Leafs, and you see both of them coming in on winless streaks, 4 for Boston, 3 for Toronto. To me, I have my heart, my gut, my brain, it's on Boston tonight to go back to where they are comfortable beating up on the Maple Leafs.
No pulse on the Maple Leafs for me. I'm completely in agreement with what Rob is saying. I put my chips on the table with the Maple Leafs at Nassau Coliseum the other night against the Islanders, just thinking that this team would win a game mm-hmm. on Long Island and that the Islanders would be due for some regression. And it was a stinker. I mean, it was tied 2-2, but they didn't play well. I mean, no. They didn't have many chances. The goaltending wasn't great. And quite frankly, they need to string some wins together for me to have any confidence to back them with my hard-earned cash.
And one more thing that left a sour taste in my mouth about this whole situation, when the general manager comes out to the media and says, well, it's the 20-game mark and we're still trying to find our identity. Have a little bit more heart and soul than that. Inspire the troops a little bit more than kind of wishy-wash attitude, because quite frankly, wishy-washy through 20 games isn't going to get you anywhere in the standings.
Before we move on to the other games on Friday and Saturday, the line tonight is 6.5 over under for the Leafs and the Bruins. Both need a win. They've played twice this year. One was a 6-goal game. One was a 7-goal game. What are you leaning?
I think it's 3-2 tonight. To be honest, I mean, Toronto's got to batten down the hatches here and keep it close.
Good stuff. So now Penguins at Devils. And if you read our story on NHL.com/fantasy, we're all over the Penguins. Devils are atrocious at home. 2 wins in 9 home games, 2-3-4. There's a lot more numbers in the second and third column for the Devils as opposed to the first this year across the board.
The best thing for the Devils tonight would be for them to get down in a 2-0 hole and come back and win for once instead of getting up to a 2-0 lead and blowing it again.
I know. It's going to be Blackwood and net for the Devils. I mean, you have ways to, even though Pittsburgh's depleted, you have ways to tap into McCann, tap into Justin Schultz, tap into Brian Rust. I mean, the value here is, I don't know, I would spend up for Malkin, but then again, you could spend up for Malkin and stack him with Murray or Schultz and have a day.
So you guys both like the Penguins in this situation. Is this say to me, I look at this game, I'm staying away. Mm-hmm. Crosby not on the ice, let Pittsburgh sort of get their legs, figure it out without him. Mm-hmm. You guys, is this a play for you both?
This is not a play for me. Well, number one, my picks, as we all know this year, not great.
Listen, Robbie, listen. We'll pick it up. Robbie will pick it up. I'll tell you, last year, Robbie was handing out winners on a regular basis, and it's just a matter of you need something to get you going. Is it? And I'm willing to pay for whatever you need. Is it a Florentine omelet from the diner? Is it a trip to the spa? Do you need some Japanese whiskey? What do you need from me? Because I'm willing to support you, because I know that winners are deeply embedded in your gut, and they just need to come out. Something needs to get them out and onto the show.
I mean, I'm so far below 500 at this point in the season. I think I need, moving forward, a weekly stipend allowance to the local diner here just a couple blocks down. If you need me, I'll be sitting there by myself, eating my omelet, just letting the picks come to me. I'm tired of chasing the picks. This isn't a bank. They're coming to me from now on.
Okay, so here's the deal. I am setting you up with the local diner here. We go there a lot. I'm setting you up with a little charge card. You can get your little Florentine omelet. Get what you need. Get your head right, because all the listeners, they deserve the winners that I know are in your gut. And so that's what I'm doing for you. Consider it a Christmas gift.
Okay.
You will be at the diner at least once or twice a week on my dime, enjoying a Florentine omelet on a regular basis, whatever you'd like.
This is a sabbatical for me, to be honest. This is a soul-searching moment where I need to evolve to 2019-20 hockey and stop living in the season previous.
Let me say one thing, and it did wonders for me this week, because I mentioned it was my best performance. First time, maybe for any of us this season, over 200 points in FanDuel last night. And the key to success for me, I took Monday off, and I took Wednesday off. And then Thursday was
You're fresh.
And look at your schedule ahead next week, 2 days off.
You're right.
So the rebound's right. coming for Robbie.
You were fresh, but did you just say the bomb? Or did I misunderstand you? Did you just say Thursday was the bomb?
I didn't say the bomb. Okay. I said
the bomb.
I think I said the bomb. But
was well, that T-A or T-H?
Well, you can see the days off have transported us into the mid-90s, but thank you.
Regardless.
Thanks for catching me. Thanks for keeping me honest on that one.
The Devils tonight, I would love for this to be that game where it's a contrarian play, but it's not going to be. And then going back to Pittsburgh here, I do want to give them one game to see. Now that the Crosby news is official, he's out a minimum of 6 weeks. What is Malkin going to do? Before the season started, I said Malkin, huge year coming for this guy. So he is in my DFS lineup tonight because I gotta keep these picks churning. I want to see him take over the game, but I am not ready to put up $100 on Pittsburgh.
Let me tell you this. So go out and buy low on Evgeny Malkin right now. I would say point per game or better over the 6 weeks that Crosby's out.
Mm-hmm.
Mark my words on that. If you call me out on it 6 weeks from now and I'm wrong, I'll be surprised because Gino is going to pick it up. Mm-hmm. He always does, and Crosby picks it up when Gino's out.
Yep.
It always happens.
I'm glad you guys brought up Gino. I expect him to be an absolute madman with Crosby out. I hope it happens. I love to see that Gino sort of player where he just takes over games. It's really fun to watch.
I hope
that happens. I'm with Pete. I'm with Rob. I think it does happen. So however you can get him involved, DFS, he's obviously taken on many season-long teams.
Mm-hmm.
But just keep an eye out for it because he's going to be a madman.
Another interesting note tonight. I've been saying interesting like 100 times. I truthfully do find these things interesting, so I will say that. But Montreal Canadiens, love watching that team. But good note for FanDuel and DFS players. They give up a ton of DFS points to opposing teams' defensemen. They happen to be playing the Capitals tonight. So I'm looking at Johnny Norris as a must roster if you're spending up opening the wallet for him.
Yeah, I have four superstars in my lineup, three from the Boston game and Johnny Carlson. So and then cheap elsewhere and have some nice value in the Columbus game tonight that we'll get to. But yeah, he's a lineup lock, has been all year.
One thing I will caution here. They're starting Ilya Samsonov in net tonight. They're on the first of a back-to-back.
Okay.
Friday's in Washington, little funky. And then Saturday, you know, you never know what could happen. Is that going to maybe deter you a little bit from taking Washington at home in a parlay tonight?
Here's the deal with this game, and I'm looking at the numbers. And most of the bets are actually going on the underdog Canadiens.
Mm-hmm.
I think a big reason why is because of the goaltending scenario you just brought up. But as a bettor, how do you bet against the Capitals at this point? Because even when they don't play their best game, they still win the game.
Mm-hmm.
So you can't do it. To me, it's either lay it with the Capitals or just stay away.
There are two 13-game point streaks going on in the NHL right now, the Capitals and the Islanders.
Mm-hmm.
I think that the Capitals could keep this going for another couple of games.
Yeah.
The Islanders might come to an end on Saturday at Philly, the way that Philly's playing, the way that Carter Hart's playing.
The only chance Montreal has to win the game, which it can happen, we've seen it happen, Carey Price game. It's a Carey Price game. And that's one reason why, you know what, I'm not taking the Capitals, I'm not taking Montreal, because, quite frankly, it's a stay away from my perspective.
I feel you on that. And I have the same exact pulse you do on this game, to the point where, for the Canadiens, I mean, you know, like watching the team, same thing can be said about the Caps. But this game, to me, with Carey Price going against Samsonov, Price will not be outdone. Do not put your cash on Canadiens, though, because the sad reality is Washington requires 20 minutes to win the game, and that could be in the third period.
Yeah, and I could see a depth scorer winning this game for Washington. I think it could be Lars Eller facing his former team. I actually slotted him in as one of my deep dive value plays of the night. He's got 6 points in 9 games in his career against his former team, the Habs.
And his goal song. So the Caps are actually doing this cool thing this year where the players pick their own individual goal song. Always is obviously still DRE, which is probably one of the biggest flexes out there. Lars Eller's goal song is Eye of the Tiger. So hopefully he scores tonight so we can all enjoy that song.
I love that little thing that the Capitals are doing, and I thought about what my song would be.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, a lot of these songs are, you know, 80s rock and pump up and some rap. I go old classic Frank Sinatra. Imagine you score a goal and what pops on the big board and the speakers. I did it my way. Regrets, I've had a few, but then again, too few to mention. I think that would be phenomenal. And give Frankie Boy, old Blue Eyes deserves it.
He does. I would go a little bit of opera, to be honest. I do a little, maybe like a little Italian opera, just to be like, is this guy from the mob? What's his influence here? Where is this coming from? Keep the fans on their toes.
And Peter, what are you breaking out from the mid-90s there? A little Nirvana?
Nah, I'd do probably some Red Hot Chili Peppers.
Red Hot Chili Peppers. Okay. Californication.
Ooh, that would be a good one.
Yeah, we'll see. I'll think of what Red Hot Chili Peppers song I would pick by the end of the show.
And I'm going to text Davey to ask him. We'll get the answer on the program at some point what his song will be. I don't even want to take a guess with that guy, what he's got up his sleeve.
He would pull out a record from Moe's Restaurant. The stuff that they play in there, the soundtrack, I guarantee you it would be a song on there.
What's the deal with Moe's? So they only play music in that restaurant from musicians that have
passed
deceased?
Away. Yeah.
Which is a little eerie and weird. I'm eating a burrito and I'm thinking about how Kurt Cobain went down. It's just strange.
Oh, man.
But I didn't know that until Davey Boy, who loves Moe's, brought that to my attention. But I'm going to text him right now. You guys move forward with the program. I'm going to get this information from Davey and we're all going to hold our breath and see what Davey has up his sleeve for his goal song.
Okay, I like it. So let's go Blue Jackets at home. Not playing well. The Blues Cup champs are coming to town. I like the appeal of the Jackets. Atkinson, no goals on 18 shots over his past six games. If you're good at math, that's three shots per game. Highly likely that he gets on the board here tonight. Columbus is one of the worst home teams in the league, but they have a good atmosphere, and I think they're going to turn it around starting today.
I was just going to say, the reason why I'm taking St. Louis tonight, the reason why they are my lock is because of how good they are on the road and how bad Columbus is at home. And I think one thing that shouldn't be understated, Columbus minus 19 goal differential, they are sitting right down in the bottom depths of the NHL. And I think, to be honest with you, it hasn't been talked about enough how much the loss of their top guys really hurt that team. I think the media is giving them a pass because Tortorella and Kekalainen came out this summer and said, oh, we'll be fine. Well, the reality is you're not fine.
Yeah, Emil Bemström, if I'm saying it right, has points in three straight games. He's another one of my garbage bin value plays of the night. And I would also take Elvis Merzlikins. I'm not trying to piggyback off Davey, but he came very close, like Davey said, and I think he is due. We love saying that in fantasy, a guy's due. He's overdue for his first win.
A note here on the Philly-Ottawa game tonight. Carter Hart, as we all know, has been playing lights out. Good to see for season-long owners. Now, the thing with Ottawa, surprisingly, good home team. And Philly not been great on the road. I'm not suggesting that you should hammer Ottawa as a home dog here, but I think if you are liking Philly and their recent play, you might want to just watch this game and take a pass on putting money on it.
Yeah, Philly's a weird team. Like, Philly will lose this game and then beat the Islanders to end their 13-game point streak where they're 12-0-1. So that's kind of where I would say, that's where I would stand on the situation, that Philly is so Jekyll and Hyde. They are going to actually have Carter Hart starting tonight against Ottawa, so maybe Brian Elliott on Saturday. So who the heck knows?
See,
honestly,
that's me
bizarro.
Is an Alain Vigneault. I'm overthinking the situation here. Like, oh, let's get the easy W against Ottawa, and then we'll roll Brian Elliott against the Islanders.
So maybe I'll flip flop. I don't know. The Flyers will win one of these two games. I think they have the potential to upset the Islanders on Saturday.
This rarely happens, and we'll get to the Friday picks and. I'm going to ask you for your DFS lineups, and then we'll move to Saturday. But honestly, this Friday board, and we're all in the business of coming up with picks, and sometimes there's just nights where they're not out there. I have nothing on the board for tonight, and I'm not going to force anything.
Yeah,
I'm not
going
to play anything tonight. It's not. There's just nothing there that I really like. I mean, I'm going to watch the Boston-Toronto game. You know, I just there's nothing on this board that I can confidently say is going to be a winner. So I'm doing the right thing by the listeners. I know we're in the business of giving out picks, but some nights, you know what? Just get your popcorn, get your cocktail, and no need to lay any lettuce on these games.
Oh, and while you're sipping your cocktail, make sure to put on Conte Partiro by Andre Bocelli. That is the opera song. That would be my goal song. Great music. Put it on with the lady and enjoy a cold one.
Okay. All right. That sounds good. And I did get an answer from Davey before we moved to some players and picks and whatnot for Friday. Davey has to do a better job than this, but he's given me Number 2 by Blur. And that song, if you recall, goes, It's like, woohoo, da da da, woohoo.
He wants the fans singing along. I know he does. Oh, well, he's high-fiving
boy.
His teammates.
I mean, I thought he'd have a little something better up his sleeve than Woohoo Number 2 by Blur, but anyway.
Well, let's not, you know, Goalie Mouse has been so hot, we can't dog him. I think he's exempt from any criticism for another week or two.
You got to pick something that is not already played at every sporting event under the sun every single night.
That's
Crazy
very
Train or that.
That would be
I
the
mean, those
funniest,
are like so
the most
tired
ironic
at this
goal
point.
Song.
That's very fair. Davey, who I've always pegged as a very creative, out-of-the-box person, has to do better than Blur.
Yeah, agreed. All right, we're back in on Davey.
All right, so now let's look at Saturday, right? So we have a couple of interesting games going on.
Wait a second. Before you go to Saturday, Friday, do you have anything on the big board? And we've talked about players, DFS lineups and whatnot, but is there anything on the big board you like?
There's not a lot of value. I do think I have a hunch that Columbus is going to win against St. Louis, and if there's value in taking the over in that to go against the grain, I would do that as well. So I just have a hunch about the CBJ.
I'd be curious what the line is in that game because I do like St. Louis, but if they're huge favorites, I would shy away from it.
The line in that game, St. Louis opened up as minus 135. It's now down to minus 120, which means some folks have been putting some lettuce on the Blue Jackets. Mm-hmm. But again, I just how do you bet against the Blues?
Yeah, you can't do it.
I
tip my hat to him because he's been good with DFS lately. But I do like the Blues in this one. But tune in to Saturday. We've got a couple day games: Carolina, Minnesota, Vegas, L.A., Dallas, Edmonton. The Dallas Edmonton tilt should be very interesting after what we saw the scoring eruption from Edmonton and then the good defensive sound play that we've come to know and love from Dallas.
Yeah, so I wanted to ask you, because I know you're a Bishop Khudobin owner, do you dare to start Ben Bishop and his 930 save percentage on the road in Edmonton, where Edmonton is 7-2-1, one of the best home records in the league?
1,000%, and because Edmonton beat the brakes off of Colorado, who was depleted. I mean, that team has nothing outside McKinnon and Makar on the blue line, but even in a situation like that, Makar, He's logging 20-plus minutes a night facing McDavid. The good news with Dallas, they've got Heiskanen back there. They've got Lindell back there, guys that can slow the game down. They can take a little edge off McDavid and Draisaitl. Do I think they're still going to walk out with points, McDavid and Draisaitl? Yes, but I think Dallas walks out with a W.
Did you see when Cassian steamrolled McKinnon?
Crazy, man.
I mean, he's already a one-man show. If anyone in the NHL deserves the most valuable player award at the quarter mark of the season, I think it's Nathan McKinnon. He's a one-man show. But he got overwhelmed by the two big dogs on the other side, and then their third-wheel line mate put him on his back there.
Nathan McKinnon for MVP, is that what you said?
Yeah. Both of his line mates are out.
I don't care. I disagree completely. Leon Draisaitl,
Connor
McDavid.
Have you seen
McDavid.
Some of his games and double-digit shots and just completely dominating?
I understand, but I just don't think you could ignore. How many points does Draisaitl have? He might be in Kucherov territory when it's all said and
done. They're both most valuable to their team. I guess you could say that, but
and
can't
what,
give the award
what
to
McKinnon's
both of them.
Doing without Rantanen.
I'm not saying giving
Gabe.
It to both of them. I'm saying Leon Draisaitl, to me, is your MVP. And
all right.
If this pace continues, bye-bye, Leon wins it.
Yeah.
We just started the show saying he's the best German since Nowitzki, and now you want to give the award to McKinnon? Please.
Well, we could talk about that all day. Calgary's facing Arizona, another Western matchup that has implications. I think both teams are slowly but surely kind of finding their game. Arizona, as we all know, dropped to Minnesota. Mm-hmm. But what was interesting, Pete, they started Antti Raanta that game. What's going on there? Do you think they're trying to force a timeshare?
I think it's in their best interest of the long season to keep Raanta fresh, to keep him efficient, because he has a very high ceiling as well, and you can make the case that Darcy Kemper should be in the Vezina conversation right now, but I would say it would be better for the team if you have both of them clicking at a high level. In order to do so, you have to start Raanta a little bit more than, say, Washington is starting Samsonov. Mm-hmm. So I think you need that mix. You need that chemistry between the two to go hand in hand. Pick the other one up when he's down. That's best for Arizona.
Kind of like the Rask-Halak situation in Boston, where those guys are 60-40, I would say. And Boston faces Washington on Saturday. Both teams coming off tough matchups on Friday night. So where do you lean in this tilt?
I think the Coyotes have a nice bounce back appeal. I think that we were both surprised, right, that they lost that game against Minnesota. Phil Kessel missed a wide open net that could have tied the game. He was actually playing with a new line mate, Carl Soderberg. I kind of like that stealth lineup move to try to get Phil Kessel back ignited.
Well, I was actually talking about Boston, Washington on Saturday, but nice synopsis and analysis okay. for sure on Arizona. We broke it down into the depths. It's always hard, I think, when you're looking at Saturday games and you do have two teams, quality teams, playing Friday night against quality opponents. Mm-hmm. Then the big dogs face off Saturday. So this might be a Davey watch game for me. I'd love to throw a winner on this game. I will say Washington always plays Boston very well. So if you're going to give an edge to anybody, I think it's Braden Holtbeast, who always comes up big against Boston.
Yeah, the only thing I would say about that game is that I'm excited to watch it. And then maybe take the over because both teams play and it could be a little high event hockey, trading a lot of chances. So many offensive caliber, high caliber players in that game on both sides. So that's all I would say about that game.
Buffalo, Ottawa, Saturday. Buffalo, they came back against the Hurricanes. Nice to force OT, but a lot of sloppy play there. Colin Miller on their blue line, which is one of their offseason additions, was a healthy scratch. Not sure what to make of that. So, you know what? I do like Buffalo at home. That should be a win for them. But, I mean, I wouldn't say that they're a lock by any means at this point.
Buffalo is winless in the past six against Ottawa on second of a back-to-back. You better get that win if you want to hang around in the playoff race. Otherwise, they might be out of it by Thanksgiving. Last year, they were in it at Thanksgiving. You can't look at your fan base in the eye out of it by Thanksgiving. So they got to pick it up.
And it's not going to get easier for the Devils, who face the Habs on Saturday. I mean, if the Devils drop on Friday to the Pens and then on Saturday to the Habs, I think there's going to be a different look behind the bench.
Yeah, I'm not looking at that game at all. I think the Devil, it could be when it rains, it pours for that, because Montreal is a darn good team. If they lose on Friday, they're going to win on Saturday. Right? Yeah, for sure.
Coaching change alert. The last time we threw one of these out, it was Peter DeBoer, and he's safe. He shoved it up.
He was listening. They won five straight, and now no one's talking about
it. Check.
So now the coaching change alert is on John Hines in New Jersey, and we'll see what happens. I don't disagree with what Robbie's saying. We're getting to that juncture where he might be saying goodbye to the New Jersey Devils.
And another game on Saturday, talk about the Rangers. And I remember, Bobby, you know, we were talking about it, and I said, watch out for the Tampa power play, because holy smokes, the Rangers penalty kill sucks. They got the doors blown off. I mean, on Thursday, it was a straight-up shellacking. I'm surprised Tampa didn't put up double digits on that team. A couple more posts and in, it would have been 10, 11 goals. So the Rangers going to Florida on Saturday, they should not be going out of the hotel. They should be in there rethinking the game plan, because, quite frankly, watch out for Barkov. Watch out for Huber Dew, as Davey says, and Co. and Yandel, again, snapping it around out there. I think Florida responds after losing to Laurent Brossoit and the Jets on Thursday.
Yeah, Florida right now has more losses than wins. 10 losses total and 9 victories. So you look for them to get back to dead even. Some against the grain appeal. Not many people talking about Pavel Buchnevich, 15 points in 17 games this year. That's a lot better, more consistent, closer to a point per game than he's ever been.
Well, that was one of those minus 260 favorites that you could make a case once the game started. They could have been minus 600. I think it was 5-1 or 5-0 at some point in the first period. That was just a smoke show.
Absolute annihilation. The Maple Leafs face the Penguins on Saturday. Again, another back-to-back kind of wonky situation. Scheduling quirks, sure, but it always makes gambling a little bit tougher.
Yeah, one game that I want to get to on the Saturday slate, I like the Blackhawks against the Predators. I think that something is changing for Chicago. I liked what I saw from Corey Crawford the other day. That was his best performance of the season by far. They were down 2-0 early. That game would have been 8-0 if Corey Crawford didn't get it together, and then they pulled the upset on the road. So give a tip of the cap to Chicago.
last weekend or a week and a half ago, I did take the Chicago at Nashville pick. It did burn me, so I can't go back to that one. I will say for Nashville, no one is talking about Philip Forsberg. This guy's got like 10 goals in 12 games played this year, which is basically every night he's scoring. So look for Philip Forsberg at home to pot one against either Lehner or Crawford, which, by the way, Pete, I think we can agree on. Lehner and Crawford's turning into a nice goalie controversy for the Blackhawks.
Yeah, and that's a good problem to have. I mean, Robin Lehner has a 935 or something save percentage. He hasn't dropped off much at all after being a Vezina finalist last year. And now Corey Crawford's picking up his game as well. We know what caliber of player he is, championship caliber, 3 in a 6-year span. So he's not going down without a fight.
And I think the last note I have for Saturday is Vancouver at home. They did get burned by Dallas, but I think against Colorado, we're really starting to see what Colorado is without their top line guys. It's unfortunate. You can't do anything about it. I still like watching the Avs because of MacKinnon. But I think this is a very hard matchup for them. And I really would say, Vancouver, please, start Thatcher Demko in this one. The team might play a little bit harder, have a little bit more edge. If Demko's starting on Saturday, I like Vancouver at home against the Avalanche.
It's crazy, too. Vancouver has two guys in the Calder race right now, Quinn Hughes and Thatcher Demko. Thatcher Demko's still a rookie. He's outperforming Markstrom. He could win that job outright after another couple of weeks.
And you know, if he does win that job outright and they somehow like make the 8th seed of the playoffs, I think he would win the Calder, Pete, because of Jordan Binnington's snub last year. I really think that they would be like, oh my God, we need a goalie to win this thing. Boom, give it to Demko.
I could see it. I could see it. And one other thing I could see here is Bo Horvat getting off the schneid. He has no goals in his past 18 shots over 8 games. So he's up there with anybody who's due for a goal across the league right now.
And he's
now
playing like 21 minutes a game. It's like, is this guy a defenseman or a forward? It's ridiculous.
He'll get you like a 2 or 3 goal game against the Avalanche, who are depleted, to say the very, very least, right now.
So thank you for the reviews. Most recently, I think we're up to 180. As we know, we're pushing for not only 200, but 1,000, as we mentioned on the program on Thursday, Bobby.
Yes, I want 1,000 by Christmas. And I see Robbie, he wants to hightail it out of here to get to that Florentine omelet. But I'm going to tell a little story real quick. Story time with Bobby. Welcome to the show. I was at a deli just down the block here, 45th Street. They have the best honey mustard in all of New York City. It is the perfect combination of spice and sweetness. I get it on a little chicken cutlet wrap. Oh, it's divine heaven. I was just throwing a compliment to the deli owner, in fact. And I said, hey, man, this honey mustard is incredible. You know, where do you get it from? Thinking it's going to be a Restaurant Depot, or, hey, you know, we order it from here, get it from there. This guy has the nerve to tell me that the honey mustard is homemade. Homemade honey mustard. Like, I really believe that this rinky-dink deli is spending the time to perfectly concoct this honey mustard. I mean, what a sham. I am not going back to that place at all. I don't care how good the honey mustard is. For him to have the gall to actually think that I'm going to be like, oh yeah, it's homemade honey mustard. Are you kidding me? That this deli is putting the time in to make homemade honey mustard?
I mean, he could be back there with a pot of honey and of Dijon mustard and whipping that up in the kitchen, dude, in the Pyrex. I would give the benefit of the doubt to the deli owner. I mean, I think it'd be more funny to lie about the fact that your honey mustard's homemade, other than like slapping off a Ken's honey mustard dressing and be like, here's our homemade sauce.
Well, it's just a slap in the face to me as a consumer. I know for a fact that they are not making honey mustard homemade at this deli. It's not happening. All right. It's either Ken's or it's some sort of thing that they just throw into the squirter and away we go, Restaurant Depot, wherever you get it from. Just tell me.
I mean,
don't tell me
right,
it's homemade.
I mean, to be honest, you probably don't want to see some of the back rooms in some of these places in New York City, right?
I saw a mouse running
kitchens,
across the floor of my local bodega the other day.
Right, so people don't understand. people don't understand if you're not from New York City. Like, this is just an ordinary deli that's close to work. I wouldn't go.
There's like 5 per block, basically, almost like.
Exactly. Yeah. So for him to have the gall and the nerve to tell me that this honey mustard is homemade and I'm supposed to believe it, I mean, it was just an absolute slap in the face as a customer, and I will not be going back.
We need an insider business review on this. We need a little spy to go in there, get a temporary job for a couple of days, and tell us, please, is this homemade or is this out of the can?
It's not even worth it. We all know it's not homemade. There's no freaking way that this honey mustard.
I believe it's homemade.
Oh, gee whiz. Okay. Put a bow on it, Peter. Hey, guys, I thought it was a fun week. I thought we did a great job. I want 1,000 reviews. I want 2,000 reviews. You know what Bruce Lee says? You know what? Goals, they might not be attainable all the time, but it's certainly something to shoot for. And our listeners, please, God, do what you have to do. If you're around a family member, if you're around a friend, hand them the phone, show them the podcast, give us a review. God, please help me.
Please.
And the first person to mention Bob Bender in the review gets a special prize. Okay, I want my name in one of the reviews.
That's Bob Bender, not narcissistic at all.
No, yes. Bob Bender is tremendous. Bob Bender does a great job. Bob Bender keeps the show moving. Bob Bender,
loves
tremendous.
Honey mustard dressing.
Yeah. If my name is in one of the reviews, the person who does it will connect somehow. Okay, tweet at us, at AirChecked. Something special is in store for
him. Free lunch, Florentine omelet.
And I'll give my goal song right now. It's title number one on that Californication album. For the Red Hot Chili Peppers.
Can you hum it for me so I know what it is?
Around the World.
Okay, Around the World.
It has a great entrance, and it will get you jacked up here on this Friday. So go out and listen to it on Spotify or whatever.
All right, put a bow on it.
Let's go.
All right, okay. I did it my way.
I mean, we're singing on every single episode now, so by the end of the season, we should all be nice, trained,
we'll do a
ready for American
session.
Idol.
We'll do a karaoke session at some point. All the listeners
That'd
are
be
invited.
Fun.
All right. Can we put a bow on the show
boys,
before?
I'm out of here.
Yeah,
all right.
See you later.
It's Friday afternoon at this point. So, Bob Bender, Rob Reese, Pete Jensen, thank you so much for listening to all the episodes this week. We'll be back with another 3 next week here on NHL Fantasy on Ice.